at this month's shiurim are being sponsored by Naomi and Yitzhak Belazon in memory of Shmuel ben Avram Manderazon. We're all familiar with many of the halachas concerning Ataras Sadarim, specifically this time of year as we get close to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Even though Ataras Sadarim is not really a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur topic per se, the Gemara already alludes to the fact that it's probably a good idea when it comes around this time of year, we wouldn't want to have any Nadarim on our conscience. So therefore, the minhag Yisrael has become that some have the minhag before Rosh Hashanah, others have the minhag before Yom Kippur. There are some Rishonim who actually claim that the whole institution of Kol Nidre was a form of Ataras Sadarim, kind of a communal Ataras Sadarim. But the idea of doing Ataras Nadarim is clearly something which is on our mind around this time of year. So I thought we'd try to take this topic in terms of Ataras Nadarim and focus in particularly on the role of the Beis Din. What exactly is the role of the Beis Din? Who exactly is qualified to serve in the Beis Din concerning Ataras Nadarim? So in the first of the Maamar Kamos, the Gemara tells us that in Gemara, at the end of Maseches Nadarim, the following drasha: Nemar kan zehadova v'nemar lahalan zehadova b'shchut echut. The Torah uses the phrase in the beginning of Pashas Matos, zehadova, concerning the parsha of Nadarim, Vayidaber Moshe, Rosh Matos, and Nei Solimah, Zadavar Shetiv Hashem. Uses the phrase Zadavar, and the word Zadavar happened to appear in another place in Chumash, way earlier in Parshas Achrei Mos, concerning the mitzvah of Shechut Echut, that you're not permitted to shecht an animal or korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the term Zadavar applies in both places. Ma b'Shechut Echut Aronu Vanu V'chol Yisrael, just as when it comes to Shechut Echut, the Torah says that the mitzvah of Shechut Echut was given to all of Klal Yisrael. Everybody's equal. The Gedolim are not allowed to shecht mechutz, and the regular people are not allowed to shecht mechutz. It's all the same. Aron Ubanu V'chol Yisrael. Av Parshas Nadarim, Aron Ubanu V'chol Yisrael. So too, the dinim of Nadarim, and particularly the Gemara is focusing on the din of Ataras Nadarim, the fact that you're allowed to cancel a neder even though it was already taken place. So that was also given in a certain sense to Klal Yisrael, that everybody has a shaykhus, everybody has a connection to the din of Ataras Nadarim. Umakan Rosh Hashanah, and just as when it comes to Parshas Nadarim, the Torah uses the phrase Rosh Hashanah, the Gedolim, the leaders, the Tamid Chachamim, Afahon Rosh Hashanah, so too when it comes to the Zadov Rosh Chut Echut, there's a special unique aspect of Tamid Chachamim. What in the world does all this mean? What kind of Gzer Shav is this? So says the Gemara, B'Parshas Nadarim, the Mahil Chasa, what is the significance of saying that Kol Yisrael are involved in a Torah Nadarim? Amr Vachar Vayakov, Lachach Shesh Yotos. This Gzeres HaKosov, this Gzeres Shavu, this Pasuk teaches us that Ataras Nadarim can be done by three regular people. Kol Yisrael, anybody's qualified, any Jew presumably is qualified to serve in a Beis Din for Ataras Nadarim. So ask the Gemara of Ahar Rosh Hashanah, how could you say such a thing that there's no role for Tamid Chachamim when it comes to Ataras Nadarim? Just any three people could do Ataras Nadarim. So in Cain, why in the world does the Torah single out Vayidab and Moshe Rosh Hashanah? Why did Moshe give a special tzivui to the Tamid Chachamim? He should have just spoken to all of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Chizda v'tem Rav Yochanan b'yochid mumcha. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to introduce Parshas Nadarim with the phrase of Rosh Hashanah, this teaches us that there are really two different tracks for Ataras Nadarim. There are two different ways to accomplish the same goal. You have a neder, and you want to come and present the fact that you took the neder, you didn't exactly understand, you didn't really want to take the neder, and now you feel bad about it. The whole story of Ataras Nadarim that we're all familiar with from the Siddur and Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Torah says you can do that in one of two ways. Either you can go to a Kol Yisrael, to three regular, plain, simple Jews. They don't have necessarily any requirements. Or if you don't want to go to three, you want to get away with doing Ataras Nadarim with one, then you have to be careful. Then he has to be a Rosh Hashanah. Then he has to be someone who's really qualified, an expert in this area. We'll see exactly what the qualifications are. Then at the moment, then you require Rosh Hashanah. So the answer to the original question, well, what is it? Who has the right to be Matan Nether? Is it Kol Yisrael has the ability to be Matan Nether, or is it Rosh Hashanah? The answers are both true, that either one is an acceptable approach. So comes the Rambam, the second of the Maamar Kamos, and quotes this halacha, that there are two different ways of doing Ataras Nadarim. Comes the Rambam and introduces this following. Ketan Matirin, how do you go about doing Ataras Nadarim? Yavo HaNishba, he happens to use the phrase Nishba because he's talking about Hachos Shavuos, but the halachas are the same, Ataras Shavuos, Ataras Nadarim, Ataras Naziris, they're all the same. So Yavo HaNishba LaChacham HaMuvak, over Shlosha Yotos in Ein Sham Mumcha, that he comes either to a Chacham Muvak, an expert, Tamil Chacham, or to three regular people if there's no Chacham available. Then the Rambam goes through all the details, we'll leave it out for now, it's not really relevant in terms of this year, but what the Lashon has to be said, what the Noder has to say, what the response has to be, etc. What we want to focus in is the way the Rambam presents the requirement of Ataras Nadarim. Either Shlosha Yotos, that's fairly simple, straightforward, three regular people, or Chacham Muvak. That's the Rambam's description of the Rashi Matos that the Chumash is referring to. So this is a very strange phrase, Chacham HaMuvach. What exactly does that mean? So the simple pshat is Muvach means someone who's an expert, someone who knows a lot. He learned Masechet Nedarim, back and forth, he knows all of it was Nedarim. That's the Chacham HaMuvach. Is there any significance that the Rambam chose specifically this unique phrase of Chacham HaMuvach? So the Lechemishna on that Rambam, the next one, really the same Aram Malcham, the Lechemishna makes the following Ha'ara. He's really quoting from the Rana Masechet Nedarim. What does that mean, Chacham HaMuvach? Perish. Afal pi she'eino samuch. Even though this, quote unquote, Tamil Chacham, we are going to be matan ed to be a chidi. He's coming to do it by himself. He does not have smicha. Now, here, smicha doesn't mean that he doesn't have ordination from a yeshiva, plenty. What it means is the official halachic smicha, which meant that Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, and Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim, and Ish, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the official bona fide smicha. In fact, the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the Sanhedrin that there are many things that smicha is required for. You can't sit on certain type of, but they didn't even have smicha. You can't be done dina fashas without smicha. You can't be done dina knasas without smicha. You can't do kiddush hachodesh. There are certain things that smicha is an absolute requirement for. And for all practical purposes, we don't really have the smicha. It's been lost already for hundreds and hundreds of years. So comes the Lechemishna and is quick to point out that the Rambam did not say that you have to go to a Chacham HaSamuch, that you have to go to someone who has the authentic smicha. All the Rambam said is you have to go to a Chacham HaMuvach, someone who's an expert. It's important that the Lechemishna points out that the previous Dvar of Aranzal is quoted that the Ran had this diuk already in the Rambam. What the Lechemishna doesn't tell you is that the Ran happens to disagree with this Rambam. The Ran is a long, long piece. I had a little bit of Rachmanis on the Mar Mekomos. It's a long, long Ran of Masechet Nedarim. But basically, the Lechemishna quotes the whole thing. He quotes what's critical, namely that the Rambam's Shita is, in fact, that all you need is a Chacham HaMuvach, whereas the Ran says absolutely nothing doing. You need a Chacham HaSamuch, you have to have authentic smicha in order to do a one-man show for Ataras Nedarim. Now, L'chora, this is going to be a very big Nafkin Lila Lacha B'zman Hazeh. Does the possibility of doing Ataras Nedarim with a Yochid Mumcha, with a one expert, exist for us today? So according to the Ran, the answer is not. According to the Ran, a quote from the Ramban, all those Rishonim will say that you require smicha, forget it. So it's not an option anymore. We don't have smicha. The smicha chain has been broken because smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have it anymore because at one time in history, the Jews were basically, for all practical purposes, were just about all thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. The Roman government stopped the smicha process. So tachlis, we don't have smicha anymore. So according to the Ramban, according to the Ran, we cannot have a Taras Tadarim B'yachid anymore. But, according to the Rambam, that you don't need smicha for Ataras Nedarim B'yachid, all you need is a Chacham HaMuvach, so presumably we should be able to do it with Zman Hazeh, provided that you have a Yachid Mumcha, you have a Yachid Muvach with Zman Hazeh. So there's an age-old practice that we do not perform Ataras Nedarim with a Yachid Mumcha anymore. According to the Ramban, the Ran, it's obvious. And even according to the Rambam, we don't want to be Balagaiva. We don't want to say that, you see me, I learned Masechet Nedarim, I'm an expert. I didn't just learn Daf Yomi, I learned it 20 times for 20 years in Yeshiva, I know everything back and forth. So I'm going to be the one who's going to be Matan as a Yochid Mumcha. So nobody wants to take that title of Bizman Hazeh. So therefore, even according to the Shita Sarabim, the meaning has become that this notion of Hataras Nedarim as a Yochid Mumcha basically doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. The only track that's available for us is the Gimel HaGyotis. We have a Gyotis, even Bizman Hazeh, we have a Gyotis. You know, there's not so much to be a Hedyot. We'll see, there may be certain limitations even to that. But the idea of doing a Yachad Mumcha, so according to the Ran, for sure doesn't exist. And even according to the Rambam, the Maisa doesn't exist. What is the root of this machlokas, though, this theoretical machlokas between the Rambam and against the Ramban, against the Ran, whether you require smicha in order to be kosher for Hataras Nedarim B'yachid? So the Rav suggested that this machlokas, which appears to be a very limited, innocent machlokas, as pertains to Hataras Nedarim, is really a much more global question. Namely, what is smicha all about? This principle that we find in Masechet Sanhedrin, that a dayan who has smicha, so then he can do X, Y, and Z. Then he can be don din nefashis, and then he can don din kenasis. Then he can do kiddush hachodesh. And if you don't have smicha, you can't do any of the above. So what does that mean? So the Rabbi explained that there's really a fundamental chakira. What's the nature of this principle of smicha? Is smicha something which relates to the gavra himself? Namely, a dayan hasamuch is a different type of a person than a person who doesn't have smicha. If you don't have smicha, so that's a chisaron in your status. Chisaron in your shame dayan. Is that the pshat? Or no? Smicha is something which is required for the psak to be binding. Sometimes you don't need to be chosin. Somebody calls you with a shiloh, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos or not. So I'm allowed to answer the shiloh, even though I don't have official formal smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. If you know the answer, you're allowed to answer the shiloh. But certain areas of halacha, certain piskei halacha, the Torah says the psak is only binding if it emanates from a person who has smicha. So the smicha is not halacha in the person. The smicha is halacha in the kreich habsa. Where does the Torah require this? So it requires it indeed. In the farshas, it requires it indeed. In knas, it requires it in kiddush hachodesh. Says the Rav, if you hold that smicha is a requirement in terms of the gavra, that smicha is a fundamentally different type of a person, so then the Ramban and the Ran make a lot of sense. That the Torah says Rashi Hamatas. The Torah says that you have to be a special, unique individual in order to be able to pull off the stunt of doing a Torah Sandarim by yourself. You have to have a Shein Dayan, Lechol Dover. Only if you have Smicha, you're called the Dayan. Only if you have Smicha, you're called the Yochid, the Somloch, Yochid, Numcha, etc. According to the Rambam, who holds that Smicha and a Torah Sandarim have nothing to do with each other. Why? The role of a Dayan by a Torah Sandarim is not to paskin any Shailas. The role of a Dayan by a Torah Sandarim is to be a Maisa Beis Din. The halacha requires a Torah Sadarim has to be in the presence of a Beis Din. So a Beis Din could be, says the Rambam, either three individuals, regular people, or one Yachid Mumcha, a Chacham, a Big Tam, a Chacham, could also serve as a Beis Din by himself. But to insist on Smicha being present doesn't make any sense, says the Rambam, because Smicha is a halacha in Tzak, and whenever you have a Beis Din, it's not Paskin in the Shaila, so there's no need for the Smicha. The whole institution of Smicha doesn't make any sense unless you're dealing with a type of a base, and it's actually possible in the Shaila. So a kopon in this machlokes is the Rambam and the Ramban, as appears in the Rambam against the Ramban and the Ran, all the other Rishonim, which starts off as a machlokes of the Hataras Nedarim, the Rav understood to be a much more global question, a much more fundamental lamdash Shaila. What is Smich all about? Is it a din in the Gavra, or is it a din in the Psak? But practically speaking for us, we're assuming that we're not going to invoke this principle of Yachid Mumcha anymore. All of our Torah Sadarim, of course, we're familiar with it, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is based on going to three people. Are there any conditions, any requirements that the three individuals have to have? So we know the Gemara calls them Gimel Hadyotos. The Gemara says it's basically open for everybody, but is there anything that we have to be careful about? So in the third of the Mamakomos, the Gemara tells us as follows. So it's the second line of the third piece of the Mamakomos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that when you have a Hataras Adarim, you have a Bezin of Gimel Hadyotos for Hataras Adarim, Rabbi Yehuda says, Echad Mihem Chacham, that one of them has to be a little bit of a Talmud Chacham. Maybe he doesn't have to have Smicha, maybe he doesn't have to be the world's greatest expert in Hataras Adarim. He has to learn, he has to know a little bit. He learned with Hataras Adarim once. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's necessary. Then the Gemara continues, Lechlau Bahanach Koldu. Would Rabbi Yehuda therefore imply that the other two Dayanim could be total Amiyaris? They don't have to know anything. But again, Rabbi Yehuda's insisting that one of the three Dayanim doesn't have to be the world's biggest Talmud Chacham, but has to know how to learn a little bit. The other two, would Rabbi Yehuda say, don't have to know Aleph Beis, don't have to know anything? Comes the Gemara and says, no. Amar Ravina, the Mistavre Le Besama. The other two Dayanim don't have to know Maseches Nedarim by themselves, but they have to have a little bit of a head on the shoulders. They have to be able to, in theory, be able to follow a sugi maseches nedarim. That means if and when you'll explain to them what's going on, so they'll be able to follow, they'll chop a little bit. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, in effect, there are really two different levels of requirements in terms of the dayanim. Now we're talking about the gimel hadyotos. We're not talking about the beis din. We're not talking about the yachid mumcha, about the samach. We're talking about plain and simple hataras nedarim every shon in the morning, three hadyotos. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, there are two conditions. One of them has to really know how to learn, and the other two don't really have to know them, but themselves, they have to be able to, at least be able to explain what the halach is. So the question is, do we accept Rabbi Yehuda or not? The Gemara tells us that no, but the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham said there's no need for one of the Dayanim to be a Talmid Chacham in any shape or form, that all three can be Hadyotos, and that's okay according to the Chacham to what we passed. However, there was a big machlokes, a fundamental machlokes that we shown him. According to the way we paskin, that there's no need for one of the Dayanim to be a Chacham. That's out of the question. You don't need that. That was Rabbi Yehuda speaking, and we don't paskin like him. Do we at least agree to Rabbi Yehuda that you need the bare minimum? It means everyone has to be the Misrulei V'Savar. They have to at least have enough of an understanding that if you'll explain to them a little bit about Nedarim, so then they'll at least catch on. Is that a necessity or not? So it's interesting to note the Gemara only insisted on that requirement within Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara never said a word about it according to the Chachamim. So the Rishonim had a machlokes. So the Ran in Maseches Nedarim claims that, of course, it's a double posture of everybody agrees that the three Dayanim, even though Hadyotos are good, but they have to know the Halafes, they have to know the Beis, they have to know a little bit, they have to be able to at least, if you explain to them what a Nedar is, if you explain to them what a Taras Adam is, they'll understand what you're saying. If they think they're saying Tehillim and Erev Rosh Hashanah, so the Ran says that's nothing. That's not even a Gimel Hadyotos. That's less than Gimel Hadyotos. The Ran says If you have three people who don't have a clue what a Taras Nedarim is, and even though you explain to them, they still don't have a clue what a Taras Nedarim is, so the Ram says, so what are they doing? So what kind of a Taras Nedarim is that? Taras Nedarim, they don't have to have a basic, a little bit of understanding what's going on. So in fact, the Ram Shita is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the fourth of the Ma'amar Kamos. Nisha Nadav in Ishkari, if a person took a neder, and now they feel bad about it, Yesh Tekonai Decharot, they could be mad at the neder by just going to Beis Din and saying that they feel bad. V'afilu Nadav Elokei Yisrael, even if the person took an unbelievable neder that they invoked the name of Hashem, the highest most chavadik neder, doesn't matter, you could still do a Taras Adam. Kesed Yasa, what do you do? Yeitalaitel Chacham Mumcha Degomer V'Sovi, you got a great Tamil Chacham, again, we're not going to do this matter. The inane yachid mukha, what do you do? Yelech et shlosha hadyotos, come to Shulchan Aruch and says, v'hu d'gmil hu v'svirei. They have to know a little bit of something. They have to be smart enough that you'll explain to them the basics, they'll be able to chav. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? He got it from the Ran, who got it from the Gemara. The only thing is, the Gemara was talking about according to Yehuda. The Gemara never said that according to the Chachamim. Doesn't matter, the Ran says that was a given according to everybody. The Shulchan Aruch passes like the Ran. The Rambam happens not to quote it. If you go back again to the second of the Ma'amar Kamos, when the Rambam introduced the requirements for Ataras Nedarim, the same one we read before, Ketad Batir and Yavu Nishpa L'Chacham Amuvav Ole Shlosha Hedyotos. That's all the Rambam said. The Rambam didn't say a word about what the Shlosha Hedyotos education has to be. He didn't tell you what the IQ has to be. Didn't anything. Gimel Hedyotos Aron Abana V'Choyso. Any three Jews are okay. They don't have to know anything. They don't have to be explained to nothing. So the Rambam clearly understood that it was only Rabbi Yehuda who insisted that the two other Dayanim have to have some degree of education, which makes a lot of sense, because Rabbi Yehuda's standards are much higher anyway. Rabbi Yehuda says you need one real Chacham, and two people who can chop a little bit. Masha'in can, according to Chacham, it's a freebie, according to Chacham, everything's okay. Aron Abana V'Choyso, any three Jews, everything's kosher no matter what. So the Rambam didn't quote the requirement of Mishpru Leva Savar, because we passed in against Rabbi Yehuda. And the Ran held no, that even the Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Shulchan Aruch passes l'chumra. So where does this put us in terms of Lamaisa? So the two tracks of Ataras Nedarim that are available for us, one is out of the question. The Yachin Mumcha, according to the Ramban and the Ran, is totally out of the question. We don't have Smicha. And even according to the Rambam, is out of the question, because no one wants to take the, no one has the guts to say they're Yachin Muvach according to the Rambam. So that's not an option. The second option that's available to us is the Gimel Hedyotos. The question is, are there any limitations to the Gimel Hedyotos? So you don't need any real bona fide Tamil Chacham on the Beizin for Ataras Nedarim. That would be Rabbi Yehuda speaking. That we don't pass him like. But it's quite possible that we do accept the Shulchan Aruch. Has to be at least Mispulei V'Sav. It has to be a little bit of a basic understanding if and when it will be explained to in order to be kosher for Ataras Nedarim. Are there any other requirements that are necessary? So come to Shulchan Aruch, the fifth of the Ma'ar Mekamos. Case that he atara, comes to Shulchan Aruch and says, how do you do ataras nedarim? Yomalal, so the dayanim say, give him p'amim mutalach, or sharalach, or machalach, v'chalashin shayimba. So it doesn't matter what the lashon is. We say everything. Let's make everybody happy. Mutalach, sharalach, ain't kind of net, everything. But the truth is that any of the lashonis of the above would really be okay. In fact, the whole ataras nedarim that we do, the whole very, very lengthy nusach of ataras nedarim, is a little bit superfluous. You start to get, how do you get tongue twisted over you? You keep on saying the same thing over again. Is there a shumshin? Is there a this? Is there a chayr? We just want to make everybody happy. I've seen by Chashim Rabbanim, sometimes, you know, it gets late, and Erev Hashan in the morning, some people who forget to do Ataras Nedarim until Erev Yom Kippur, they're running back on Nidri, everyone's putting on the talus, and he's still running Ataras Nedarim. So I've heard them give them the abridged version. Namely, I'm as chayr for everything I said, Ned the Shavuos, etc., 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 kakosuv, the art school, sitter, and they say, mutlach, I'm finished in conflict on Nidri. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that you can use whatever lashon you want. Now comes the Shulchan Aruch with a whole bunch of kulas. Afilim umad. The dayanim don't even have to sit down. Now, this usually flies in the face of Hukos Dayanus. Normally the halacha is the dayanim have to sit down. Taras Nedarim is different. How did the Shulchan Aruch know this? The Gemara says the favor. The dayanim can stand up. Ubikrovim. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, in case that kula was enough, there's another one. The dayanim could be related to the noder, even though that's normally out of the question when it comes to Dinei Torah. Doesn't matter. Uva Laila, you could do Ataras Nedarim at night. So normally you don't have a Din Torah at night. It doesn't matter. The Shulchan Aruch is just quoting verbatim the Gemara Nedarim that says that basically all the quote unquote requirements of Dinei Torah, of regular Dinei Beis Din, really don't apply to Ataras Nedarim. Perhaps part of the reason is what we mentioned before, that the role of the Beis Din for Ataras Nedarim is not really to pass Kiddush Shaila. I can't be a Dayan on a Din Torah for my brother.
I can't have a diet and a din Torah at night. Those are dinim when you're passing Shabbos. This is a formality. This is a bite of days in the Alma without a psach, so that's not a problem. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues, you can even do this on Shabbos. You're allowed to be mounted neder on Shabbos. The only condition is that it shouldn't be for something which is only relevant after Shabbos. You're going to know this with a lechol, with vatam, you're on a Shabbos, saying, I took a neder, he's not going to be cholent anymore. Now comes Shabbos morning, he's plastic for cholent, so you're allowed to do a Torah Sedarim on that. If a guy took a neder that he's not going to go to a baseball game or something, so then he's not going on Shabbos anyway, so what's the big tzarech to do it on Shabbos? We wait till after Shabbos. This is in fact the reason why we say Kol Nidre, we try to chap Kol Nidre before Shkia, that we showed him right, since there was some who claimed that Kol Nidre is like a form of a Torah Sedarim. It's very questionable what exactly Kol Nidre is all about, but there were some opinions that said it was like a Torah Sedarim, so you're not really supposed to be mounted neder and Shabbos and Yom Tov unless it's Tzorech Hayom. So therefore, it's really proper to say Kol Nidre before Shkia, which others responded, that's the Tzorech Hayom. It's a big Tzorech Hayom. You don't want to be on Yom Kippur with the Darm on your head. So then maybe that's also called the Tzorech Hayom. That's a question. But a Kopadim, the din in the Gemara, the din in Shulchan Aruch, is that Krovim are acceptable. So from the fact that Krovim are acceptable, it would appear that basically all the Psulim of Uchaz Dayan are thrown by the wayside, that this is not a regular din Torah. So people who we would normally think are not acceptable are in fact acceptable. So if you look on the back of the Mamakomos, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes a tshuva from Rabbi Kiveger. I am a tshuva from Rabbi Kiveger, the Shmatos to Simon Ayin Gimel. It's a short tshuva in Simon Ayin Gimel, and then the back of the tshuva from Rabbi Kiveger is the longest part. Shakasov, he had the following ha'ara. Nira davka bekrovim, the einap sul beguf. When the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say that relatives are allowed to do a Torah Sedarim, that means, let's say, my father's not a apostle dayan, he's apostle to serve as a dayan for me, but the Atzmuso, in terms of him as a gavra, he's kasha to be a dayan. So when it comes to Torah Sedarim, he can be my dayan also. Dakshem adun acherim, or the chaim b'layla. Layla is not that, it's like, Layla's out of the ballpark of having a din Torah. That's a technicality. To dover achen gorim l'dayan wazman. I mean, right now it's dark, so you can't have a din Torah right now. So when it comes to Hataras Adarim, all those conditions are waived. Masha Enkein, Benoshim, Vachin Ami Kitanim. Let's say you would have a woman who wants to serve in a Beizin for Hataras Adarim. So a woman can never serve in a Beizin. A woman is psula to serve in a Beizin, or a Kotzin. Somebody under the age of a mitzvah is possible to serve in a Beizin. So says Rabbi Kiveger, someone who is impossible for them ever to serve in any Beizin, in any shape or form, they're not acceptable even for Taras Tadar. This is the Chiddush of the Kiveger, because the Gemara was only Mater Krovim. The Gemara says a father can serve on the Beizin for Taras Tadar for his son. So says Rabbi Kiveger, that doesn't necessarily follow that a child under the age of a mitzvah can serve in a Beizin. This is Rabbi Kiveger's Chiddush. It's based on this Rabbi Kiveger, the son had a chumra as follows, which is very common Shaila. Let's say as follows. Let's say the Gemara says that Krovim Makasha to be Mater Neder. So that means that my brother can be Mater Neder for me. My father, my son can be Mater Neder for me. What if two of the Dayanim who are sitting on the Beis Din happen to be related to one another? Two brothers are sitting on the same Beis Din, or a father and son, very common, shul in the morning, Erev Hashanah, so what happens? After davening himself, everyone grabs the three people closest to them. So very often, that's your own son who's sitting next to you. So the father and the son sit down the Beis Din together. So some Acharonim had a problem with that. They said, that's worse than Krovim. When it comes to Krovim, so my father is, in theory, kosher to serve in somebody else's Beis Din, so therefore he could serve for me also. A father and a son can never sit in any Beis Din together. Krovim cannot be Dayanim together. That's possible. Or two brothers cannot be Dayanim together, so they can never be Dayanim together. Who would deny me? They can't serve as Dayanim for Taras Adam. So there's some more machlo for that, that it's nothing wrong with having a father be mapped to a son being mapped to a father, a brother being mapped to a brother. That's okay. All that's fine. That's the Gemara. But to have two Krovim on the same Beis Din, some are machlo for that, based on a certain Kivega. So comes the Kivega and says, the halacha is, that a kotten, according to his chiddush, a kotten is possible to serve in a basin of a taras and darim. So now comes the kiveg with the following: the alpha das atur chashir mishpatim involved the benyu gimoshana for lo heavy beisairos kasher. Now loch kasher ladun. Now loch is that once a child is 13 years old, so we know that in order to be bar mitzvah min haTorah, you need not only to be 13 years old, but you have to have physically mature as well. And the only way that the loch determines that you're physically mature if the child is very developed. Two hairs, but also muffled, two pubic hairs. So comes the Bikinegel and says that the halacha is, if you have a 13-year-old kid and you don't know whether he has Cyrus or not, so he can be a dayan for dinim mamonis. Haina she'en yaduim heavy beis Cyrus. So he's a dafkalin mamon. Avalios dayanei chalitza. the MS Shrichim, but Diga Shemi Beis Aris. Let's say you would want to have a bar mitzvah boy. Just turned bar mitzvah last week and have him sit on a bezin for chalitza. We would never let that, because Allah is, whenever you have a shal of a deraisa, so we don't want to rely on the fact that he probably has Cyrus. That's a din that appears in Masechus Nida, that for all dinim deraisa, the only way you can rely that the kid is really honest to goodness by mitzvah is if you checked and saw that he really has Beis Aris. That's the reason for the minhag, that we don't let the 13-year-old boys blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, that we don't let the 13-year-old boys lay in Pasha Zohar, unless we know for the fact that they already have Beis Aris. But there are barons of Mekel, for deraisa of Machmer. Comes up the Kivegu and says, in Kenya Shlomar, that you want to have a Beis Din for Ataras Nedarim, you need Kasher Dayanim in the Torah. Because this is a real Makoy, this is a real thing. You need a Beis Din Deraisa, because Nedarim is a Din Deraisa. And a Kapan is possible, says in Kivegu, an unbelievable Chumrah, that a 13-year-old boy is also possible. Here the kid thinks he just turned about mitzvah, great, now he can sit in the Beis Din for Ataras Nedarim, nothing doing. Down for the Yamid, that's okay. To Lane, that's okay. Say it after, that's okay. Count for a minion, that's okay. To be on a Beis Din and Erev Rosh Hashanah for Taras Adam, that's not okay, says Rebbe Kivega, because you don't know for a fact that he's really by mitzvah. How are you going to know that he's by mitzvah? And the Poskim say, when he starts to shave, the kid already is developed physically, clearly developed physically, then you know for a fact that he has Beis Aris. That's quite a chumra. Again, it's the chumra God, the chumra Rebbe Kivega is saying. The Shulchan Aruch never says that a katan's possible for Taras Adam. The Shulchan Aruch says, krovim akshayrim. Rebbe Kivega said, no. Krovim, yes, the katanim, no. And then Rebbe Kivega went the next step. And he said that even if he's not for sure a kotzer, even if he's just a bar mitzvah boy, that's also a problem. So it comes with the Kivek and says, V'sarach b'dika davka, l'chein yesh li zoyer, shelo likach matirim ki imanoshim shenismalu v'tneim. You have to have a full beard in order to be matirim. It doesn't mean that if you personally shave, you're not kosh v'tarz. No, that's not what he means. He means that in the old days, no one was shaving, so the only way to know, the kid was quote-unquote over the mitzvah, was if he was already shaving. So now comes with the Kivek with a fascinating story. But in order to, I really appreciate this stuff, because just a little bit of a background. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that when you do Ataras Nedarim, so it's not enough just to come to Beis and say, yeah, I took a nether. And Beis and asks you, what kind of nether? I don't want to tell you. Why did you take the nether? No, nope, not telling you. The Gemara says, you can't do that. Because Allah HaTzach Lefardus HaNether. You have to say what the nether is. And not only do you have to say what the nether is, you have to explain the background to why you took the nether. Why do you have to explain the background? The Gemara says, Mid the Rabbanah, the Chum were afraid that if you just come to me, Mat the Ned, and you don't explain what's going on, you may be trying to weasel your way out of a Ned that you really should have taken. Some Nedarim are not bad. Some Nedarim help you keep mitzvahs properly, so those are good Nedarim. So a guy took us to the doctor, told him not to do such and such, and he took a Ned to listen to the doctor, and then he feels bad about it, so he's trying to get the Bezim to be Mat the Ned. So Bezim asked him, so why did you take such a Ned? I don't want to tell you, because if he tells that the reason why he took it was a good reason, Bezim will laugh at him and say, we're not going to be Mat the Ned, listen to the doctor, doesn't it? Listen to the doctor. So every time you mount the net, you have to be careful to make sure the Beis Din understands, they have the background to what's happening. But that's only a din mitzvah rabbanim. In the Torah, you don't really need that. In the Torah, it's good enough even if you're not mefaris in it. That's why in Erev Hashanah we say this very funny mumble jumble, like, well, you really say, ach, de'una rabosa kimitzal hadin, sarach shirfaris in it. We're really supposed to be mefaris in it. But we can't, because we don't remember, we're not sure. So, ach, you should view it to ilwa yisi partum. It's a little bit strange. So the Rishonim is very bothered with that lashon. But Lamaise says a din minatari, you don't have to be mefarad of another. Midra bani you do. So it comes from Kivegu and says, back to the tshuva, Maise shrei kachoya. Misha ain't a rosa lefarad of another. There was a person came, it was really a real true story, somebody came to be mat in another, and they didn't want to be mefarad of another. Why? Ki nada be'esek mischar v'dover seser. Because his nether had something to do with his business. So ain't a rosa legalasod lachem. He didn't want to tell everybody what the background of the nether was, why he got into a fight with such and such a person, he wasn't interested. There's only one person in town who he trusts. He doesn't trust the Rabbanim, doesn't trust the Yadim, trusts one person. The only problem is, the only one we trust is the 13-year-old kid. He's the one who's willing to tell the background to the Nedim. Now the halach is, you have to be before this Nedim, you don't have to tell all three Dayanim. It's enough to tell one Dayan. Because again, the whole reason is that at least one of the Dayanim should be aware that you're not trying to weasel out of something you're not supposed to be doing. So here Rabbi Kivega got stuck. On the one hand, there's a halach, you have to be mefarad as a neder. On the other hand, this guy refused to be mefarad as a neder, only to the 13-year-old. And Rabbi Kivega was just the one who said, you can't have the 13-year-old sitting on the Beis Din. So, checkmate. I mean, you have to be mefarad as a neder. And the only one who wants to be mefarad to is the 13-year-old. And the 13-year-old, puzzle. So what do you do? So that's why you need Rabbi Kivega to come up with the Eitzel. So Eitzel was Sheikach Arba Matirim, take four people on the Beis Din. A new story. Four dayanim. Gimel Shinis Malos Ikenes. Three of them are men with long white beards. Zadal, the fourth, Yezeha Elem, he'll be the little kid. Ish Sodo, the only one who we trust. Ulafon of Levad, Yifur HaNeder. And he should be befired the Neder to the little kid, to the 13-year-old, to die Bekach. And that's okay. Why? The Midah Raisa ain't talking about fire Neder. Midah Torah, you never have to be fire Neder. Just come to Bezin, Hokus Pokus, Mutlach, Mutlach, everything's okay. With the Rabbanan, you have to be fired as a Neder. Good. Ulagabi, the Rabbanan, the Tzarech, the fire Neder. Shur Sabchin, the Chazak of the Rav. Ulagabi, the Din, the Rabbanan, the fire as a Neder, will rely on the fact that this kid is probably Bar Mitzvah already. So if the kid is probably Bar Mitzvah, he's kosher to serve on the Bezin. So you will be fired as a Neder, Ulagabi, the Bezin. So you're walking a tightrope over here. It means, you don't want to just rely on this kid being the third of the three dayanim, because in case you goof, in case he's not really by mitzvah, you're up the creek, you just did a tzaras adam with two dayanim in effect. So you need three kosher dayanim with long white beards to be mamish, kosher mahadrin and mahadrin, no question. On the other hand, they're not good enough because you don't want to be mafarad as neder in front of them, so you bring in the fourth one to serve the purpose of being mafarad as neder, and since mafarad as neder is only the dirabonim, so you're home free. So says with the Kivega, the cave of the Gilachal Shonin, Hevi Simonim, Avizad, Dal, Gamkin, Matirim, Rai Nifl, and Nether, Yachin, and Matirim. This is Rabbi Kivega's Cheshbin. So the Poskim points out, the Kivega is saying in Gavalt Tichidish, that normally we have a rule of Ein Beis and Shuffle. You're not supposed to have an even number of Dayanim. So the Kivega seems to be saying that once you have the number three, you got to the magic number three, then it's not a problem. You can have four, you can have six, you can have eight. We have this all the time. Very often you sit down to do a Thursday Dharm. You know, you're supposed to divide into groups of four. So sometimes there's an odd man out, so you end up with groups of five. So what happens? So your three dayanim are sitting, and the fourth guy is tired, doesn't want to stand anymore. The same speaker for the last hour and a half. He's tired. So he sits down next to the other three. So Gavalt, you got four dayanim sitting in front of you, Ein Beis and Shachol, Gavalt. So Rabbi Kivega says, not a problem. Ein Beis and Shachol doesn't apply over here. Not everyone agrees to Rabbi Kivega. But here Rabbi Kivega is entertaining the possibility of having four dayanim for Ataras Nadarim. And this was the only aid, so this was the chap, the wonder that Rabbi Kivega was able to put together in order to solve the problem of having the katan. Again, it's a problem that he created. Peshos and Peshita. The Gemara doesn't say a katan is possible. Rabbi Kivega said it, and he solved this problem with this very, very complicated eitzah of having three plus four in effect the fourth dayan. Just in the remaining couple of minutes, I wanted to, since it is getting close to the Yom Narayim, so I thought maybe we'd just speak a little bit about something about to tie together last week's year and this week's year, just a little bit in the oilam of for Machshava, something hopefully give a little bit of different Yisroelus, for myself included. We spoke last week about the fact that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shacharis B'Shabbos. And we gave all the lumdus, what else saw, and this and that. But if you think about it, at the end of the day, we're doing an unbelievable thing. The Torah says, Yom Teruah Yelachem, the Torah says that Tekiah Shofar is not like any other mitzvah. It's not like the Tachilas Matzah, it's not like the Tachilas Lulav. This is the mitzvah that everything is riding on. The Yom HaDin is riding on it. The Shofar Gadol Yitaka, everything we hope and pray for, we know is banking on the fact that Shofar is going to help us. So what is it that we put the Shofar down in Rosh Hashanah Chalos B'Shabbos? How could it be that the Chum made such a takana with all the lambda said, how could it be the Chum did away with Shofar and Shabbos? So I think that the answer to this really is that you have to understand what is the ultimate theme of Rosh Hashanah. What is Rosh Hashanah really trying to accomplish? So the answer is, it's a threefold theme. And you don't have to go that far. You go to the Musaf, Chacham instituted three unique brachas for Rosh Hashanah, brachas that we don't say any other time during the year, the brachas of Malchias, Zechoros, and Shofros. So we know that always in the middle bracha, Shmona Esrei, you can always extract what the Kedushas Hayom is all about. And it's in Musaf, so that describes what the essence of the day is. On Shabbos, we describe the essence of Shabbos. On the Shalosh Regalim, we describe the Alila Regal and the Kabbana Sayyom. That's the essence of the Kedusha Sayyom. So if the middle brachas of Shemana Esrei, of Musaf, of Malchi, Zechonos, and Shofros, the Chazal is telling us that there are really three distinct themes behind Rosh Hashanah. The first theme being the theme of Malchus Shamayim, second being the notion of being a Yom HaZikaron, and the third, the entire concept of Shofar. It would appear that to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah Shacharis B'Shabbos, to risk the possibility, even though it's somewhat of an off chance, that someone's going to carry the shofar, would be such a stira to the essence of Kedushas Hayom that the Chachamim decided it's worth it that nobody should blow shofar. We should lose the entire shofar rather than throw into question the very essence of Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. Well, what exactly does that mean? So if you think about the malachos, the lametes malachos, there are 38 malachas in one category, and there's one malacha which stands by itself. The 38 malachas have a common denominator in the sense that there's a physical change to the object that you're doing the malacha to. You take raw food and you cook it. You take wheat and you grind it. It's different. It's fundamentally different. Carrying is the only malacha that there's no shinui to the object. It's the same thing. That's what the Rishonim called a malacha grua. The shvacha malacha carrying. Well, it might not mean it, whether it's here, whether it's there. So if it's such a malacha grua, so why does the Torah answer it? Why do we put so much emphasis on it? And if you think about it, the malacha of all of the Chashavas that has the most Torah Shema Peh on is carrying. No other malacha has its own masechta. Carrying has 20 blad in Shabbos plus another 105 in Erevin. So what is it about carrying? Somehow carrying in Shabbos is mamash ha'enuach. So we know that Shabbos is, of course, supposed to be our demonstration of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam by definition, that he is the Melech HaOlam. Pasuk says in Parshas Miketz concerning Yosef that when Yosef was appointed to be the Mishnah HaMelech, how does the Torah describe what it means to be a Melech? The Torah says, Lo Yarim Ish Es Yado V'Yasrag Lo B'Chal Eretz Mitzrayim. To be a Melech means, to be the Mishnah Melech means that nobody moves without you. That's what it means to be a Melech. Melech means that no one will pick up the hand and the foot without consulting the Melech. The Melech is king. When we refrain from carrying on Shabbos, this is the greatest demonstration of Malchus Shemayim. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't pick up the object. The object's not changing. I'm not doing anything to the object. I'm merely picking it up. You cannot pick something up without checking with the boss, without checking with the Rabbanu Shalom. To carry something on Shabbos is the greatest stira to Malchus Shemayim. And some of that's what Chazal had in mind. And Chazal said, we cannot set up a situation where there should be one Jew out who's going to carry the shofar on Shabbos. That's going to be the greatest stira to Malchus Shemayim. Here we spend the entire day of Rosh Hashanah singing Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yumelech, and 5 minutes later someone's going to pick up the shofar and carry it out into the street, and he's going to be Meirim Yad of Aragla without checking with the Rabbanu Shalom. That cannot be tolerated on Rosh Hashanah. When we speak about Zichronos, so all the entire theme of the bracha of Zichronos speaks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers us. There's only one part of the bracha that stands out. Ashrei Ish Lo Yishkachecha. So we say, happy is the man who doesn't forget the Rabbanu Shalom. What does it have to do with Zichronos? Zichronos is Zeicher Brit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is remembering us. But the Nisach HaBracha is telling us that Zichron is a two-way street. That you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember you for good, there's only one condition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember you for good on one condition. Ashrei Ish Lo Yishkachecha. If you don't forget the Rabbanu Shalom, he won't forget you. He doesn't remember you if you don't remember him. A person who's Michal Shabbos. So how does the Torah describe the mitzvah of Shabbos in the Seder? The Libra says, Zochas in the Shabbos the Kachel. The person who forgot that it was Shabbos, he carried the shofar, Ein lecha bittel of Asher Ish Lesh Pechecha Vod Mizeh. To forget that it's Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos the Shabbos, the boot. Said, Ein lecha lack of Zichronos, Vod Mizeh. So the Chachamim were willing to put the shofar away. Don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Because if the shofar gufa, which is supposed to be the mechanism to remind us that the Rabbanu Shalom should remember us, and we use the shofar gufa to forget the Rabbanu Shalom Shabbos, lo masani yadeinu v'raglenu, the entire zichronos is thrown by the wayside. What's the brach of shofar? What's the theme of shofar? So shofar is the trickiest theme of all the three brachas. The Rav pointed out that if you look at the psukim that we call for shofarist, it seems to be it's a cholent of different psukim. We speak about shofar of Matan Torah, and we speak about shofar of Yimasa Mashiach and Kibbutz Galus. What's the common denominator? What's the unifying theme of shofar? What's just the word shofar? So the Rav said, no, the word shofar means shechina. Whenever there's a mara shechina in this world, whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence can be felt in this world, so it always goes hand in hand with the shofar. When was there hashras hashechina and Matan Torah? Therefore, there's a shofar. When is there going to be again a Hashras HaShechina? In Yimasa Mashiach, Kibbutz Galiot. Any time when the Navi speaks, the Navi is the Shofar God, or whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina appears, so that goes hand in hand with the Shofar. We say in Haggadah, Zog Yilu Shechina, we say concerning the Meira Gadol. The Pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, the Meira Gadol, say Chazal, Zog Yilu Shechina. When a person sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu is present in this world, the only emotion, the only image that he can conjure up in his mind is Meirah Gadol. Pachat b'chodim. It's lo yu'umman ki yisupa. You see the Rabbanu Shalom. The only thing you do is mali pachat. I remember I had this chus this summer when we went to the Grand Canyon. We had a cold trip from the LA Cola, went to the Grand Canyon. So the only expression you could see on everybody's face, on the from people and not from, the Jews and not, anybody who's standing there, Yeshua, literally what the Haggadah says, Maragolo, everyone's just Pachat Tachadim. You can't look at the Mar HaShechina without feeling the Maragolo. That's what the Baruch of Shofar is all supposed to be. It's supposed to be the greatest expression of Yerushalayim. The Rabban tells us that the Lavim of Shabbos, Lavim for Kol Tarakula, stem ultimately from Yerushalayim. For a person to go ahead on Shabbos, to be mevatel shomer shem Shabbos v'katshel, to be mevatel malacha, to be over malacha, to carry the shofar on the day which is dedicated to Mor HaShechina, the shofar which is the vehicle for Mor HaShechina, should turn around and do the thing which a person used to do an avera with, that he didn't have Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim means you don't do a chait. If you did a chait, that means there was something, there was a pagam in your Yerushalayim. So the Stam HaChazal was so concerned that the shofar which we want to use in Rosh Hashanah to be Ma'amlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the shofar. And we want to use the shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us. We want to use the shofar as a vehicle, as an instrument of Mor HaShechina, to turn that shofar, Ein Lecha Senega Nasek, to take a Gadol Mizeh, you're going to take the shofar and use it to pick up when the Rabban Shalom says, don't pick it up. You're going to use that shofar and use it to forget Shabbos. And you can use that shofar to ignore the Mor HaShechina. That's an impossibility. But comes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah and says, there are two places in the world where you're allowed to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah Chalas B'Shabbos. One is the Beis HaMikdash, and we understand why. That in the Beis HaMikdash, nothing's going to go wrong. You have a fach from the Rebbe, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, people don't make mistakes. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is so clear, you're not going to pick up the shofar. You have a special Siyad B'Shmai not to pick up the shofar. And comes the Mishnah and says, there's another place also. And that's what Sme Beis Din. The din is that you're allowed to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah Chalas B'Shabbos in front of Beis Din. Whether the din applies to Zman Hazeh, whether you need a Beis Din smuchin, not smuchin, you have machlokas, the days of the riff, they pass in that you can blow even in front of a regular Beis Din, and the riff really did blow in his Beis Din. Another Rishon said, no, you need dafka smuchin, kishachay. Those are details. But the idea that the Mishnah tells us is, the makom Beis Din, you also have a haftacha from the Rebbein Shalom, nothing's going to go wrong. Why is that? Because Beis Din is the ultimate expression of Limud HaTorah. Beis Din is, that's what Beis Din does. They're supposed to learn the Torah and apply the Torah, passing the Shailas, which is in effect the same as the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash gets its kreiches from the Torah, from the Aron, from the Luchos. That's the heart of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the heart of the Beis Din also. That the only two things, the only two protections that we have in this world against chayt are either Beis HaMikdash, which Nebuch we don't have anymore. So in Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Ein Lel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dal Amashal Lacha Buvad, the Piskei Beis Din, the Tzak Halacha, the Tamin HaChamim, that's what we have, that's all we have. That's the only protection against the Bittul of Malchus Shemayim, the Bittul of Zichronos, and the Bittul of Shofas. So perhaps the Odei Shloimeh, that not only did Chazal institute this idea of doing a Taras Tadar, Rav Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc., because we don't want to go to the Yom HaDin with a nether on our hands, Chazal wanted us to go to Beis Din. Chazal wanted, we're not going to have Chalitzas every Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to have Dinei Mavonos every Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to do Kiddush HaChodesh every Rosh Hashanah, but the only Beis Din that we really have functioning is the Beis Din for Taras Tadar. Chazal wanted once a year, each and every Jew should stand up with their Beis Din, should realize Elokim Yitzav Adas Kel, that this is the Mar HaShechina, this is all we have left. The Beis HaMikdash we don't have anymore. But the Machon Torah, the Dayan, and the Nechon, that we still have. And hopefully a person stands up before the Beis Din and Erev Rosh Hashanah, that'll be the Makamah Patish, that'll give him the Yer Shemayim, that'll give him the Mar HaShechina, be able to start off the year on the right foot.